burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to his name. I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Hallelujah, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them. Hallelujah, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Though these people may not learn to be nor boast of worldly fame, they have all received their Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name, and are telling both far and wide his power is yet the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. Hallelujah, one of them. I'm so glad that I can see I'm one of them. One of them, praise the Lord, one of them. I'm so glad that I can see I'm one of them. They were gathered in the upper room, all praying in his name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost, and power for service came. Now what he did for them that day, he'll do for you the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. And I'm one of them, hallelujah, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them, praise the Lord, one of them. So glad that I can say I'm one of them. So come, my brother, seek this blessing that will cleanse your heart from sin, that will start the joy bell ringing and keep the soul aflame. It is burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to his name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can see I'm one of them. One of them. Hallelujah, one of them. I'm so glad that I can see I'm one of them.
Hallelujah. Are you so happy that you're one of the chosen ones that he has predestinated in Christ before the foundation of this world? Let's all stand this morning as we sing the chorus as Brother Terrence comes for the prayer request.
I'm one of them, hallelujah, one of them. I'm so glad that I can see I'm one of them. I'm one of them, praise the Lord, one of them. I'm so glad that I can see I'm one of them.
Let's see, one with us this morning. Remember the ones that may be traveling around, be with them. My family will be traveling this week, so remember Matt and them will be traveling. Sister Frida's sugar has gone real low, so she's out in the vehicle trying to get better. So remember her with a special prayer this morning. Also, Brother Joe gave me one. Brother Joe Salas says, thank you for all going to my birthday party, and thank for all your presents. So remember, Brother Joe. Sister Rebecca gave me one, says, please remember Sister Anna, Kennard. She's having issues with her nerves this morning. She needs a real touch from the Lord. So remember Sister Anna this morning. Also remember we're eating today for Dad's birthday. Remember that. Everybody's invited, so nobody go home and nobody go get nothing. Of course, everybody should know that by now. But also, remember next Saturday is our spring fling that we have down at Gillsville Park. And make sure you bring a coat. You know, it gets cool in the afternoon. All the ladies need to bring a dessert. Also, we'll be having a birthday party there for little Chloe. It will be one, so we're going to have a little birthday party there for her. And there'll be cake, I'm sure, for Chloe there that day. So just remember that also. Let's see what else. I think that's all. Just make sure you bring a coat. Ladies need to bring a dessert. And it starts probably at 1 o'clock. I think it's when we usually start. So remember that. So I know that. I know we all have unspoken requests this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this morning. Lord, be with ones that are traveling. Remember Matt and the family's traveling. Be with him. And there's other ones here that are traveling. Just come down and bless them. Be with them and guide them. Be with Sister Frida there, Lord. Come down and bless her this morning, Lord. Help her with her sugar problems, Lord. Just take that problem away from her, Lord. Remember all the other sick. Remember Brother Darty and Sister Johnny. Remember them still. And Lord, remember Anna Kennard this morning, Lord. Be with her and just all the other ones that need a touch from you, Lord. All the unspoken requests. We would, Dad, give him strength that we listen to what's being said this morning. Forgive us for all of our sins. We love you for your many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Believe. Oh, now faith is the key. Faith is the key. No things are possible. Oh, faith is the key. Yes, faith is the key. Faith is the key. And no things are possible. For faith is the key. It is no secret what God can do. What is done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open,
Brother Sam, Father, as we honor him today on his birthday, Father, yes. Give him a great day. But I can't speak of all, but he's done more for me. Thank you for him, and thank you for the ministry.
Amen. Let's turn to page 592 in the Spiral Songbook. It's near you. To talk about our Lord, you know, if you talk about him, he'll come on the scene. Amen. He is the Word. Praise the Lord. Oh, let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is he, the Lord of Lords. supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Let's talk about Jesus. Let all the world proclaim the power and majesty of such a wondrous name. The babe of Bethlehem, the bright and morning star. Let's sing his praises near and far. Oh, let's talk about Jesus. The bread of life is he, the Savior of the world. Oh, hallelujah. The prophet, priest, and king, the mighty God is he, the well of living water free. And let's talk about Jesus, the Prince of Peace is he, the great physician too. Down through all history, the lily pure and white, the rose of Sharon fair, the shepherd of such tender care. And let's talk about Jesus, the rock of ages he, the lamb for sinners slain, that man of Calvary, the great Emmanuel, the word of God sublime, he is our bridegroom so divine. Let's sing that last verse. Oh, let's talk about Jesus, the rock of ages he, the lamb for sinners slain, that man of Calvary, the great Emmanuel, the word. Oh, he is our bridegroom, so shine on me, Lord, shine on me. Oh, let your light from your lighthouse shine down on me. Lord, shine on me. Lord, shine on me. Let your light from the lighthouse shine on me. Lord, shine on me. Lord, shine down on me. So let your light from the lighthouse shine. Light
house, and from the rocks of sin, for he has shone a light around me, oh, that I might clearly see, and if it wasn't for
sing it once more. Brother Collie, you can come forth.
He is Lord.
Read this morning from Psalm 71. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful. We're thankful for this opportunity, God, you have given us to come together to worship. Father, we pray that the unity of your spirit, Lord, would touch us. Lord, that we may worship as one. God, as your Holy Spirit came and touched those on the day of Pentecost, Lord, let it be so with us, Father, for we desire to be one and to be united in your Holy Spirit. We ask you to bless those that are in the Sunday school classes, Father, touch them. Give them strength and desire, Lord, to grow and to be strong. We ask you to bless all of us together. We read these scriptures, Lord, to touch us and bless us and guide us. We ask you to remember Brother Dale as he prays, meditates upon your word to bring unto us, that as he speak, Lord, that we can hear and be blessed by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 71. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion.
Deliver me in my righteousness. Call upon me to escape. Incline thy ear unto me and save me.
Be thou my strong habitation, whereto I may continually resort, that thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress.
Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the weak, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man.
For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth.
By thee have I long ago from the womb, thou art he that shall be out of my mother's bowels, my praise shall be.
I am as a wanderer unto many, but thou art my strong refuge.
Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all day.
Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth.
For my enemies seek against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together,
saying, God has forsaken him, persecuted and taken him, for there is none to deliver him.
O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help.
Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt.
But I will hope continually, and will never praise thee more and more.
My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and salvation all the day, for I know not the number thereof.
I will know the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of righteousness, even of thine only.
O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works.
Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I sing thy strength to this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come.
Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who has done great things, O God, who is like unto thee.
Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shall hinder me again, shall bring me out again from the depths of the earth.
Thou shalt increase my greatness, and comfort me on every side.
I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even Christ you, O my God, unto thee will I sing with the harp,
My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. My tongue is like a guitar of righteousness all the day long, for thou art confounded, for they brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Amen. God bless you. Be seated.
Let's let's turn to page 16 in the Spiral Sermon Book. You have it near you. To the David.
David, he could see that he was getting older in that scripture. He said, though I'm gray-headed and older, the Lord forsake me not. Amen. Keep me here, preserve me, so others may see and testify about the glory of the Lord. Amen. Oh, search me, oh God, and know my heart today. Morning. Oh, I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill thy this morning, and take all my will, my passion, self, and pride. I now surrender, Lord, in me. Sing that verse again. Oh Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my pure heart Surrender, Lord, in- prayer. That should be all of our desires this morning. As the word just comes forth, just empty yourself out. He's here to meet every need. Amen. Let's stand as we change the order of the service as Brother Dale comes this morning. You love the Lord this morning? Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Bless you, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Amen.
I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory.
Amen. You love him.
Pour out your power and love as we sing. Holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing. Holy, holy, holy.
Glory.
Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. And I want to see.
Amen and amen and amen. And I want to see him, don't you? Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn to Revelations 21, we will read from there. Remember now the announcements have been made, that we will be having the, spring festival this coming Saturday, starting at 1. And so remember that. And then remember the other announcements. Let's see, we have some more. But just pray that the Lord would bless each and every one of us. Remember all the ones that are sick and are not here among us, that the Lord would do. I would like for you to do something for them. Of course, it's hard to do, but it's just a joke anyway. But, could everybody move over a little bit toward the wall? It just kind of move over toward the wall. Now I'm trying to illustrate something. You see how many seats it would be extra if everybody made sure they took a bath on Sunday and used deodorant, you know, and everything, and they would make room for more people, because we do have a problem here that we want to sit down and go, you know, like this, and it makes it a little bit more inconvenient. You know, to do that. Now, that's one of those things. I was mentioning it to my nephew the other day. I said, we got to do something. I said, the church is getting so full. We don't have no room. He said, that's a problem. You know, to him, it meant a joy. He said, that's a problem. I said, yeah, you can get back over again. There ain't nobody coming in. But that's just what I mean, that if you see an opportunity to be able to change things, maybe families learn to sit together or to do or whatever. We try to reserve some of the back for the little children, because that's just the opportunity. But, we're not down and out about it. We're enjoyed, but what can we do about it? We'd like to have a bigger place, but that's just not in the makings, you know, to where we could do that. So we just have to maybe sit a little closer together. You know, and put Mark and his brother right together, you know, where that they do favor anyway, so we can do that. But just to do that, and we're glad for that to be it, you know, to do. And you've already prayed, I know, for Sister Frieda. Did she come on up? That she was having trouble with her sugar, and I don't know where she come on in the building or whatever, but we prayed and we believe everything will be all right. So remember that, okay? So we got all the announcements made. All right. So let's just go right on into the scripture and let the Lord have his way with each one. Father, we thank you for the day and the grace that you've given unto us, the hour that we have upon the earth. We pray that you would just guide each and every one of us and let us, Lord, walk in you and help us to look to you, the author and finisher of our faith, and to know that you are the one to guide each and every one of us. Have your way. Remember the sick ones among us, Lord. There's many different ones that are sick and everything and age getting on to us and things, Lord. We ask you to just hasten the day and get us out of here. We pray for you to come quickly because we see the things coming to pass that are supposed to be there in the end time. The world and the situation, the religious world, city, the things, Lord, and we ask you to just come quickly and get us out of this. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelations 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now remember, John explains the bride like the city and explains the city like a bride because it goes together, all right? And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things, now watch, are passed away. Whatever caused it, all of this pain, problem, heartaches, trouble, death, etc., by this time, that's gone. All right, so keep that in your mind now. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we'll get to that scripture in a moment and try to talk on these things a little bit. But what I want you to do is to make sure we've had quite a few services talking about the all in all, and I hope you've enjoyed it. But to me, you know, I'm just to this point of view that when you say the all and in all, we know that it doesn't mean that he's in everybody, no. But he ever born again believer anywhere, see, which would be the bride with eternal life, then that's the all in all. All right. Now, then we covered that when you come to the next stage of your form of redemption, you got your fifth sealed Jew that would come up. And see, then he's all in all to them because he's dealing with them according to what he's revealing himself to them. The redemption, you know, being redeemed. All right. Now, see, then we went through covering that 144,000 because the fifth sealed Jew, it says in Revelation 6:11, you know, that they get white robes and are told to wait until their fellow brethren. Now, you may find a quote of stating that the fifth sealed Jew or people that you were looking at it, you may find a quote there from the prophet saying that would be the white throne where they'd get their white robes. But remember what the Bible says. The Bible says for them to rest and white robes were given unto them until your fellow brethren, and the prophet said that's your 144,000 that are killed. All right. So just keep that in mind. There's a reason we cover it that way. but it's the plan of redemption for different people. Amen. That's what I've been trying to express. Amen. So you can take the all in all to the bride then, and that's all. He's all and he's in all. He'll be in everyone that is given eternal life. All right. Then when you come to the field sealed Jew, that's a special group of people that will be given eternal life. But remember what we were talking about it last night. The bride of Christ is the only group. I covered, I think, four groups. But the bride of Christ is the only group that has no death to it. She's going to be changed. Now, we may die, but somebody in the bride is going to be changed and don't have to die. But for redemption from there on out, anybody that's saved on past the bride of Christ, they have to die. The fifth sealed Jew dies. The 144,000 dies. The two witnesses die. The foolish virgins die. So that's why I was covering the all and in all. Because each time he imparts eternal life. Now he doesn't impart eternal life to the bride. You know, wait a minute. Well, just listen to what I'm saying. He doesn't impart. It's not an impartation to you and me. He imparted to Adam and Eve eternal life. But we receive eternal life by the process of redemption that we go through of justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we receive it from that. All right. But do you get what I'm saying then? See, then all in all is the bride. Okay. Then you can say the all in all is the fifth sealed Jew to be given eternal life. Then you can say the all in all is the 144,000, because he's still dealing with redemption. Right? See, if you just say redemption for us, remember I gave you a quote there, Sunday, that Brother Brown says, now, these redeemed, he said, but he said, that's not the bride. He said, the bride's in the city. All right? See, everything can be, anybody that ever gets eternal life will be redeemed. From a situation that they existed in and brought forth into eternal life. Right. All right. But just covering it to where you get it all laid in order and then you don't cross up your examples in the scriptures. And see, then you can cover the bride. Then you can cover the sealed Jew. Then you cover the 144,000 in their redemption. Then you can cover the foolish virgin at the white throne. To be given eternal life. But when the white throne judgment is done, that's the last redemption. There is no redemption past the white throne. Well, I don't know if you call that white throne the redemption. Well, you tell me what it is. They're saved from their sins. They're given eternal life in their soul. All right. And see, then those things are there for us to get understanding. But just get the point, and then I'll try to move on. The bride, somebody, it may not be but one person, but somebody don't have to die. Because the Bible says you'll be changed in a moment, a twinkle of an eye. But that's not so for anybody else in any form of redemption. Because in any form of redemption, after the end by anybody, they have to die. Whether it be fifth sealed Jew, whether it be the 144,000, whether it be the two witnesses, and don't get me wrong now, a big man in this message, he taught or did teach that those two witnesses and all of those others didn't have to die. I said, well, we was in a Bible study one night or a point, a minister's meeting. I said, well, according to the prophet, they die, and according to the Bible, they die. You know, well, I mean, did that solve the problem? No. Because Brother so-and-so said it. Well, I don't care who so-and-so says what. When the word says it, I believe the word first. All right, then that just settles that. You know, we stay with that point, and then we line it up with that to where we can see. But get the final point of what I'm saying. When we get to that future home state, all right, now remember, We've read it, because we're going to get to that in a second. You get a new heaven and a new earth. Right. Then you get a city to come down.
Right.
All right? So everything at that point will be redeemed.
Amen.
All right? Then there won't be any redemption after then. It'll all be settled and over with by that time. When the future home comes down upon the earth, the prophet said it would land like it did on Jesus on a redeemed entire earth. All right. So the plan of redemption will be over when the future home lands upon this earth. The whole redemptive plan of God will be finished. All right. And that way, see, then you can cover the all in all. You remember how I tried to explain something one time? Because this is the way I see it. You take the coming of the Lord. You got the coming to the bride. You got the coming to Israel. You got the coming in the millennium. All is the coming of the Lord. All right? Each one of those is all. But you cross this scripture up with this scripture. And what have you got? That's where the problem is with the people of the message. They don't know the Bible. So then by not knowing the Bible, they can't put it together correct. Now, I don't mean everybody. I'm just making a statement. When I say that, I'm not trying to show how smart I am. I'm just telling you the God's honest truth. If you got any sense, you know it's truth. Is that plain enough? We were talking about it last night. You know, you don't have to tell a woman, but one time Brother Brown said, it's wrong to wear pants, right? If she's born again. Well, see, is there anything that we can come up? Well, Brother so-and-so said it's okay to cut their hair. I don't care what he says. The Bible says don't do it. And if the Bible is in me and you, if God wouldn't cut his hair, if God wouldn't drink, smoke, right? Yeah, then a born-again believer is not supposed to either. So that solves the problem. That's as blunt as can be. That's why I preach the way I do. I don't preach hair, dress, and clothes. Why? I preach the born-again experience. You get born again, it'll take care of the dress and the hair and the clothes and the body. If it don't take care of it, you're not born again. But people don't like it that plain. They want it soft-soaked a little, you know. No, it's too late to be soft-soaked. It's just plain language. We either believe the Bible or we don't believe the Bible. All right? But now you see what I'm talking about then. So then that didn't end my thought. It just opened up into greater things when we talk about the all in all. We just get the layout of how this takes place, this takes place, this takes place, this takes place. It's all the plan of salvation.
Amen.
It's all redemption. All right? But it puts it into degrees of where you're at. See, everybody's not a born-again believer. Everybody's not the bride of Christ. But there's redemption for them.
Amen. Yeah.
That's why it was so much to me when I come into the message in 67, you know, they're saying redemption was over. I said, according to the Bible, it's over for the world. Well, see, that wasn't their point. You know, and like I said, you can feel assured for one thing. The people that taught that believed they were already born again. All right. Because they wasn't going to admit the other part. All right. But now listen. So that makes the all and in all. And by the time the future home transpires upon this earth, the redemptive plan will be over with. Everything that will get eternal life will already have eternal life. You say, well, is anybody there that don't have it? I don't see how they can be, because the Bible said he makes all things new.
Amen.
I believe when the future home comes to this earth, it'll be a totally entire redeemed earth. All things will be made new, and that's what we're getting at, the point, today, to see it. And if it's all made new, all right. See, then why try to figure out all of these other things? Accept it of what it has done. When that happens, it will be to that place. All right, now. Then, making that point, we need to remember one thing, that the Word of God is true.
Amen.
All right, I'm settled. Okay. So then, you know, it'll be the redeemed, getting these little notes out of the way, to where that I can get back to where we want to go to. All right, now let's go back now. And as I said, we're not ending the all in all. We're still involved in it. But we want to approach it a little different to where you can see what I'm talking about. All right? So let's go now back and read our scripture that we read. So pull that back up, number one, brothers. And let's read that scripture that we just read. Okay? Of Revelations 21. All right? Now, watch what he says. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. All right. Now, so the first heaven, the first earth is passed away. The prophet said, okay, from the message, Satan's Eden, which we'll get to in a minute. They can pull it up, number three, if they want to pull it on up. Says there's no more sea. The first heaven and the first earth were was passed away. What was our first heavens? Was the millennium. The millennium is to be the first heavens when it's covering it like this. Now you say, well, now the first heavens was this back yonder, up in the sky, it was up that way. He's talking about a situation to explaining the scriptures. All right. What was our first heavens? It's the millennium. Because that's God ruling over earth as the first heaven. Because the first earth, the first heaven, watch him now. What's the first earth? Heaven and earth going to pass away. But God's word is going to abide forever. And watch. What was the first earth? Was this. This is the first earth where we're living. The millennium will be the first heaven that comes into view as God ruling over earth. Because remember, by the time man failed, you couldn't count it even in the garden as being a heaven. So we'd go to an up in an hour, we'd go to up in this, that. Remember what it's saying. The first earth is now. We're living on the first earth. The first heaven is the millennium. Okay? But now remember the scripture. The scripture says the first heaven and the first earth is passed away. All right? The millennium will come to an end, but so will this earth as far as an end of this earth. Not annihilated. We know the message, future home, right? It's not annihilated. It's redeemed. It's changed. It's made into a situation that can be used. We'll get to that in a minute on what the scripture is actually saying. But you understand, right? Now watch. In the message, what was first heavens and first earth was passed away. What was our first heavens? Was the millennium. What's the first earth? Was this. It'll be renovated. Just like it was baptized in the days of Noah, and it'll come forth in the baptism. She'll birth forth and come forth a new earth, and not a different earth. We know the message. I'll not try to spend much time on that. This earth is not annihilated. That's the key to it.
Amen.
See, we thought when it said to her, heaven and earth pass away, you know, or be no more. Well, that does away with it. It's going to be blown away. Well, where are we going to be? I mean, we're going to another planet and start over? You know. No. The future home's going to be right here.
Amen.
Right? Do we know the message enough? Does everybody understand that?
Amen.
We don't have to worry about it. This is right here is where the new heaven's going to be. This is the center of the universe.
Right.
Oh, no. Science says there's so and so. We're right here. We've blown away so many million. I don't care what they say. This is the center of the universe. You know why? Go to everywhere God is where the center of the universe is. Where's God going to be at the future home?
Amen. Amen.
He's going to be right here. So everywhere he's at. Right?
Yeah.
There won't be no more of that. It'll all be finished. Look, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. First heaven and first earth was passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, descending from God out of heaven. There will be with, their God will be with his true attributes, sons and daughters, right? Where we can fellowship with them in holiness with their eyes blinded of sin. Okay. Now, so going back to the scripture now, go back to number one. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. All right. And there was no more sea. Now, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride for her husband. Okay. So like I said, we've been through the whole thing, that big old long word that means to redeem or change. It's not to annihilate. This world is not to be blowed away. It's to be redeemed. Now, as far as sin on it, this is my point, so defining sin. As far as any oil well drilled to get oil is going to be cleansed. Because that's mankind and their garbage. All right? So then that's just the point of my, the way I try to illustrate what will happen. The prophet covered it. We don't have to worry about it. The world is not going to be annihilated. The same word for the world to be done away is the same word for you in your born-again experience. The same word as to loose the colt and let it come forth. All of those, the plan of redemption, see, to be made new. Now watch that in a minute when we get to the definition. For it to be made new. He's going to redeem this earth, not annihilate it. Because remember, our bodies come out of this earth. All right. So now that should be enough to solve the problem of that. Now watch. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he shall dwell with them and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now all in all will be complete then. Remember what I said a while ago. Everything that will ever be redeemed by the time, the future home, or the city, lands on earth, all the redemptive plan will be finished. It doesn't matter what you want to bring it up, it'll be finished because it's in order. I like to do it. You know, one day I'll give it to you if I can think of it. But I'm like this. I like to have things in order. All right. The prophet said, what's the next thing? Rapture for the bride. Right. Now I'm giving his definite. He said the next thing will be the two witnesses to the Jews. He said next will be the millennium, which will be right at the end before you come to the millennium, will be Armageddon, and then the millennium, and then Gog and Magog, and then the future home. All right. He gives an order. But yet he'll come up when he'll say it like this and boy, people go haywire. He'll say, if I don't see you no more, we'll see you in the millennium. The next thing is the millennium. Cause he said he'd see us in the millennium. He didn't say that. That's your definition as to what it is. That's not what he's saying. He just said, if I don't see you anymore, I'm like this. I can say to you, hey, if I don't see you anymore, I'll see you next week. Well, you know what that means? I won't see none of you till next week. I mean, some of you I won't see till next week. See, it's simple, but yet we make it. But the prophet said the next thing is the millennium. He didn't say that. He's just making a statement. Yet we want to make it that way and try to make him to where that he's correcting. No, he's not correcting the word. He's telling us what the word says. All right, but now listen. God shall wipe away all tears. heard a great voice out of heaven. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he'll dwell with them. They'll be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears. Now watch what all things that are ended by the time the city lands on earth. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more weeping. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no crying. No more pain. For the former things are passed away. Anything in relation to any form of unhappiness, whether it be crying, death, sorrow, by the time that future home lands on this earth, all that's done.
Amen.
What a wonderful place to be living.
Yes.
It'll be your home.
Amen.
And you as the bride gets to stay in the city.
Amen.
Right? Now watch. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful.
Amen.
I make all things new. Now, as I said, it's not an annihilation of the world.
Nope.
The new birth never annihilated you. It annihilated the sin in your soul.
Amen.
Right? But it didn't annihilate you. You're still the same person.
Amen.
It's just the point that you don't have to worry about the death right now, the sorrow. See, no matter how much I cry outwardly, inwardly I'm not crying. Why? Because that's where he's living.
Amen.
So we can take that and do it. Now listen. That word to make new. Go ahead and pull up number 2. Now remember, I make all things new. All right. Now what does that word new mean? It's 25:37. As respects form, in other words, it's going to change in form. It's talking about form. It's going to change in form. All right. Something recently made. Now what's something new? Something recently made. Something fresh. Something recent. Something unused. Unworn. New. Which was recently made. Now watch. Which as recently made is superior to what it succeeds. Are you listening? Anything made, it's made new, it's made superior. They got a new Thunderbird. How many years ago did they come up with a new shaped looking Thunderbird? 10 years ago, we'll say, whatever it was. Now which one, if you want something to drive and to do, if you want something to look at, you want the old Thunderbird. Right? But if you want something to ride in, you want the new one. Right? Why? Because it supersedes what was original. So look what he's going to do to the earth. He's going to make it greater and all than what it was. The greatest we could think of, the Garden of Eden, will be nothing compared to the future home. Right? God is going to be made new, see? All right. Made is superior to what it succeeds as respect to substance of a new kind, unprecedented, which means, in other words, uncompared to. All right. It means uncommon, unheard of, and all. Right. Now think about what he's saying. He describes a new heaven and a new earth, verse 1. Because the first heaven and the first earth are passed away. Not annihilated, passed away. It's been redeemed. All right. It's going to come forth as more superior because it's going to be made new. It will be a greater in anything. Right? Now, see how you could go back in the Old Testament? Because when they made the temple and the latter temple, how much it was greater than the former? Former might have been prettier, but the latter had a lot more to do with it. All right. But now listen, I create a new heaven and a new earth. All right. He's going to make all things new. Okay. There'll be no sorrow, no crying, no death, for all of those former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne, I got a little comment about that. But see, you know how, when you say sitting on the throne of David, I don't have any reference that there's a throne sitting there. And we all got to come and bow to the throne. The throne is in your heart, sure. But yet there will be a place in the millennium. See? All right. There will be a throne. There will be a temple made. But you won't have no animal sacrifices and stuff like that in the millennial reign. That's all gone. All right. But follow me now. If he said, I'm going to make all things new. Now, the first heaven is the millennium. The first earth is now. So he's going to redeem. He's going to make it new. He's not going to annihilate it. He's going to redeem it. And if he redeems it, what does he do? How does he redeem your soul? By giving you eternal life. Right? How is it that he's to redeem the world? By making it eternal. Why would you not want it made eternal? I'm asking you the question. Yeah, but I don't believe that the world will be made eternal. I don't believe it. Well, why don't you want to believe that? Well, I don't believe everybody will be eternal in that future home. Well, where do you get it from? I got it solved right there. If there's going to be a fact that the heavens and earth is to pass away, as to make all things new, not annihilate it, to make it new, then why would we not believe that it'll all be eternal then? Why leave a situation that could in some way reoccur again? Well, that's what a lot of people think. See, it goes to show you what you're thinking. You're thinking this thing's not over with here. You're thinking it's just started. You never heard that one? I've heard ministers try to explain, this is just, we're going to start another world. We're going to have another city. We're going to have another this. Why? What for? You know, why would you want to exist in a world that's not new or eternal? Why would you want to leave any telltale part of anywhere and remember Gog and Magog is not only an annihilation of the world systems, it's annihilation of the devils, the demons, the angels and things that went wrong. See, that's not happening in Armageddon. Armageddon will be more like a nuclear-style world situation. Gog and Magog will be destroying every effect or thought or point of the devil and his angels. Well, then why wouldn't you want to think new? Well, what it is, it's just made new. Well, what's the difference with God of making something over again, letting it start again, or why not just make it new? Because listen, folks, I've asked you to read and listen to things. And when you do, why don't you read with common sense? When that world eventually strikes the eighth day, there won't be no starting over. Mm-mm. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1, 2, 3, 4 is only a type. That's only a type. Somewhere this thing is going to be made new and be greater than its original condition of the Garden of Eden. That's the definition of the word. You say, yeah, but if it's just, if you just get to that, no, you're not listening. You're not paying attention to the prophet. Because see, mankind, as I told you, mankind has always taught the rest of the baptism of the Holy Ghost that Jesus, all you churches teach that, that Jesus come and made a way for that rest to be imparted to you and I. But why would they come up to a prophet and say, yeah, but now you've run out of your sevens? One of these days, every type, shadow, or anything of eternal life will be annihilated when eternal life is in full view. What a beautiful place. When you strike the number 8, it's finished. God has made all things new. Everything's not made new when you stand under a 7749. That's just a repeat. You just start over. You start over. Your prophet didn't cover that future home. I've asked you to read it and listen to him. Read it over and over and study it. Why would they say you have run out of types? Because see, that's their types. Their types taught the baptism. The Baptist church taught the rest day that Jesus was talking about, coming to me, all you labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. The Baptist church people taught that was the new birth. They might not have understood a lot about it, but they taught it. Your church world teaches it. But they teach it and it ends with a 7 because they just started over. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's only a type. When you're dealing in a type, remember, a type is not always perfect. Because that's why it's a type. But you see, there is an eighth day. Right? There is an eternal life. Why? Because it's when all is made new. When all is in all and finished standing in the future home, all is made new. Everybody that will ever get eternal life is there. Some may be outside the city or someone may do this. That's all right. They can be a day and night there. That's all right. But not, that's what I want to get to now. Not in the city. Not in the city. All right. You say, well, can it be, if it's day and night, that's dark. No. No, you're not listening. You think you got it, but you're missing it. What was the first thing God created? We covered this a little bit last night. I told you I was going to get on it today. What is the first creation? Okay. I got the quotes laying here, so don't worry about it. I'll give it to you. Brother Brown said God is his first creation. Now, God never had a beginning, so get the idea out of your mind of something having a beginning. All right. But God started condescending. Right. Amen. Exactly right. But remember now, we're going to read in a little bit that there's no need of the moon, no need of the sun. Right? Why? When the prophet's describing that God's first creation was God himself, that's not talking about something that it didn't exist but come into exist. It's something that was existing but yet could not be comprehended. And when it's brought out into the open, because see, God is a spirit. Jesus was human flesh to come to do what? Come to make the Father known. What's the first creation of God? God himself. That's what your prophet, I'll give it to you. But just remember, he's talking about God condescending. He's not talking about a beginning. Because God had no beginning. And remember, he always was the Word. So now when I get down to the point of saying the Word was first, don't think that the Word didn't exist with him before the world. Because that's the Scripture. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God. And the Word was God. Brother Brown said, in the beginning was Elohim. Elohim was with God. And Elohim was God. Now, don't forget now. Don't forget. We're still talking about the all in all. I'm just trying to express it in another way where you'll understand what it means. All right? Now, think about it. First heaven, first earth passed away. All right? Let me see if I can. Okay. Bypass four. Now let's jump over to five. What is the first creation? What did Brother Brown say the first creation? Well, he said God's first creation. All right. Now let's read it in another form. This is Questions and Answers, 1953. Okay. Look. Pull it on up to it. They ask him, what connection does Genesis 1 now, 26, how to do with Genesis 2? You know what he said? He's explained. One's a natural man. The other's a spiritual man. Now listen. Look what he said. If you notice in creation, the first thing that was created, of course, was light. You come on down through the creation, the last thing created was what? A man. What's God's first creation? You say, well, it was himself. That's light. Now, as I said, don't get your mind tied up. See, when you think creation, you're thinking something that didn't exist, and all at once it comes into existence. That's not a new creation. The first thing is light. Okay? Go ahead to number six. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And called the light day. And the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Okay. Turn on over to number seven. Okay. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and years. And let them be lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. What did he create on the first day? So you automatically think he created the sun and the moon on the first day. He didn't do it. He created the sun and the moon on the fourth day. We're reading Bible. So what was that light? And in verse 1, you know, it says that in the beginning God created heaven and earth, and the earth was without form and void. You doing okay, sis? The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, why does it say darkness? Darkness is an absence of light. Right? So when God said, let there be light, was he creating the moon and the sun? No. He was bringing forth light of understanding. It's not that it was dark, because the Bible said, in him is no darkness. So everywhere God ever existed, there's no darkness. So he said, let there be light. In other words, let light come forth in a manifestation. Like I told him last night, you close this room off, totally black. That's what you call darkness. Strike one match. You put out the whole darkness that's in the room. Right? See, it's expressing how that God is going to unveil himself to be seen. There was never a time that God existed in darkness. There can't be any darkness to God. Because God is light, and in him is no darkness. So it's exactly right. The first thing was light. Now come on, I ain't going to get to it, but I know I'm going to have to go so far and cut off. But just remember, I said we were still on the all and in all. Remember, I thought we good Baptists taught that the Bible says you're the light of the world.
Right. Amen. Right.
Okay. Did the Bible say that?
Right.
You are the light of the world.
Right.
Right? So he didn't create light. Light always was God, because God is light. And in him there is no darkness. It's not explaining difference. Well, the dark world was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And, you know, it's not explaining a situation of a great darkness when all at once it starts coming forth light. Because why didn't he wait till the fourth day and use it with the sun and the moon. And in case you had never thought about it, I thought we believed that the moon has no light. It's only a reflection of the sun. Right? No matter where it is in the world, it just keeps turning. It's a reflection of the sun. So what are you trying to get at? I'm trying to get to a point to understand the all in all. Trying to get to a point to understand where Brother Branham says God is not complete without you. You realize if you take out that light that you have, oh, we used to sing that song, you know, we little kids done it in the Baptist, we little kids done it in the Methodist, Presbyterian. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. What light was we talking about? Or supposed to have been talking about? See, then when the prophet says that God's first creation was himself, he didn't create something to come into light. He didn't make light. He always existed as light. In him is the light. And there's no darkness. It didn't have to come into a being. It wasn't dark and then automatically made light. It's a technical point showing you. Because why didn't he wait till the fourth day and let the sun handle it? Because see, that sun was a different light. The sun was a creation of light. All right. Are you with me? The sun was a creation of light. Light was not a creation. Light was Almighty God. Amen. See, we used to talk about it in the Baptist, right? Where were you at? That we're the light of the world. Let your light shine. Don't put it under a bushel. Don't put it under. Let your light shine. Because you're the light. Amen. No, see, we believe God was the light. We didn't believe we was the light. We believe God was light, but we didn't accept the fact that we were light. That's right. But the only way we could be light was have him in us. Jesus was describing the new birth, or the scripture was. That brings us to the same light that he is, and we don't need the moon or the sun. Oh. One day the moon and the sun won't have to exist for you and me. There'll be no light. I'm getting this point and then we'll just drop it back. There'll be no need of the moon and the stars or the sun in the city. Maybe outside, yes. You can have day and night. You can have all them things. But if you can have day and night, is the darkness going to be? Now let me say something to you. Listen. The sun is to make the day, right? The moon is to make the night. The moon reflects the light of the sun. So it will never be dark again. Why? Because the moon is shining. Now let's don't get into technical points. The Lord brought us lights up here, or this light there, and that light there. Just listen. See, that's what you do. You say something, you don't understand the Lord brought lights. What is that word for it up there? Where it's never dark in the night, you know, stays the same always. Don't get into silliness. Listen to what's being said. As long as the moon is in existence, reflecting the light of the sun, there will never be a darkness upon the earth. Yeah, but clouds, that's what I'm telling you. See, you got it all figured out. Yeah, but there's darkness comes across. When the darkness comes across, when you have an eclipse and it goes totally dark, does that put out the sun? Okay, we're sitting there, and this is going to come. Okay, and God just goes click with a switch, and he turns off the sun. So you're not thinking in spiritual matters. You're thinking with a human mind of capacity to try to understand. You're trying to make an answer. But just remember, once that sun was created, it will never stop shining. Once the moon was brought into existence to reflect the light of the sun, it will never stop. So you can have new moons and all kind of things outside the city, but I'm talking about in the city. There's no need of the light. Right? What is it? Revelation 6. Is that it? 6:11. Is that where it's at? Hang on a minute. It's not that. What is it? Because see the lamb, I'll get back to it. Because I want to pick it up later anyway. The lamb is the light of the city. Now, does his light go out, you know, when he walks outside the city? And you're the light. Does your light go out and you walk in darkness? You say, yeah, but you sound like you're talking about we're going to be lightning bulbs, you know, lightning bird, what is it? You know, where they flick at night, you know. Lightning bugs. I ain't talking stupid. I'm talking spiritual. Amen. When the Bible says you're the light of the world, it's not talking about you're going to be glowing. Oh, I can just see it. They saw me down there one day and they saw a light all the way around me. I was just glowing. That may be true, but that ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God is light. Amen. Right. There never was a time that he was in darkness. There was no darkness. Darkness is an absence of light. Right. Show me where it could ever be dark. Well, you don't sound like you believe in the dark and the night. And the no, because that come on over the fourth day when he started needing it. The first day he created light. In other words, God brought himself from us not being able to see him or comprehend him and understand him anyway. He brought light. The light is the one that said, let there be. Not the sun that come on over there 4 days, 3 or 4 days later. Amen. Well, I never thought about that. I thought that first creation was the moon and the stars and the sun. That ain't what the Bible says. The Bible says 4 days later finally come the sun and the moon. See, God's first creation was himself condescending downward. Out of a total existence of the purities of all light that could ever be comprehended with a mortal mind, God would begin to step down. And he would know that there was going to be a day and a night. There was no day and night in the eternal heavens where God existed alone as the self-existing one. There was no night and day. Night and day began to develop into existence into the fourth day when he created the sun to rule over the day. He was bringing it into physical manifestation. God is light. In him is no darkness. You're the light of the world. You realize that's what the trouble will take place? Like Wade talking about the tribulation and the thing. You realize why it's going to come? Tribulation is the wrath of God poured out on the earth. You realize the reason that it's poured out? Why? Because all the light's gone. Ever born again believer leaves before the tribulation takes place. So then it can go into darkness. But it won't go into darkness because the moon will still be there. The sun will still be shining. Right? So in his creation, he had to create. And not to be a creation like this piece of paper that was once a tree or something like that. But it was changed and brought down and finally made to paper. There is no darkness to God. I love the way the prophet explains it. Because take the words and your meaning of it. It says he's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the root and offspring. He's everything. And who is he?
Amen.
He's light.
Amen.
And in him is no darkness. But he didn't have to create something. It was there. Before anything ever existed, God dwelt alone, right? But see, we're not listening to all the things the prophet said. We're listening to what we want to, and we'd say, well, see, there was a time that he was self-existing. Because he's self-existing, existed by himself. But see, we fail to read the rest of it. That he dwelt alone with his attributes. Right? He dwelt alone with his attributes. So you're going to find out one day that all we're doing is going back where we come from. In the word redeem. We got to go through a process. To go back to where we come from. Brother Dale, you believe in pre-existence? I believe in pre-existence of Almighty God. I don't believe in pre-existence of humanity. I believe in pre-existence of that eternal life that you have in you called a new birth. Because that was part of God before the world ever begun. That was his attribute before the world ever started. Was that eternal life that you have in you. Now I'll go with you when you say I always was eternal. Because you certainly ain't talking about this.
Right.
You're talking about what's inside of you by the new birth. See, he had to impart eternal life. So what's God's first creation? Light. Light. 3 days later, he creates the sun and the moon. What does he need them for? For the whole world. He didn't need it for where he's at. Right? You realize when he stepped into humanity, he felt something he'd never felt. Because when the sun goes down at night, he couldn't see no better than nobody else. He felt something that he never felt. Because that light was not that flesh. The light I'm talking about from the beginning is that one that dwelt in the flesh. That if you receive the new birth, then you're the light of the world. Right?
Amen.
By the born again experience, the light that God existed alone with and was always and never no darkness lives within inside of you.
Amen.
If it lives inside of you, you're the light of the world.
That's right. Amen.
There's no need of the light in the future home. There'll never be a day or night in the future home. That's what your prophet said. Read it, future home. There won't be no darkness there. Now outside, yes. Because that's the world and everything else. But just remember one thing. What if he had not created the moon and the stars? You would have a light in the city and the world would be, now the world outside is going to exist under the situation we exist under now, days and nights. But just remember my illustration. No matter how dark it gets, the light is still reflecting from the moon. You're putting clouds up and smoke or stuff up above to cut off the... I ain't talking about that. You know better than that. That's just your terminology of trying to say how smart you are. Well, I figured that out. Brother Dale didn't figure that out. I didn't have to figure that out. It's the plain truth. There'll never be a time that there never will be a darkness. Because even in the new earth, it will never go back to a total darkness. There will be a moon and a sun shining outside the city. But inside the city, you don't need no light. You don't need no temple. You don't need anything. Because the Lamb is the light. I thought we believe what the Bible says. God is light and in him is no darkness. It's not something that didn't exist and then it come into existence. I ain't talking about something like that. God always was light. He's the only light. He didn't have a time that he started. Of flesh, yes. That's why it's called the beginning of the creation of God. Revelation 3:14. And Brother Brown said, when did how God create? He said, only in Jesus Christ is God a creation. It wasn't that God come into being. No, God came into eyesight or manifestation to where he could be understood. And then one day he gave you the new birth, putting that same light inside of you. The same light he had is inside of you. What does that make you? Remember, the story still is all in all. Remember the point. It's still all in all. The light has shined upon God's word to reveal God to mankind. The best you can do, you can take self-existing. And when you take self-existing, be careful, because you just took yourself out of being if you don't understand how to do that. If he's self-existing and he existed alone, then where were we before the world? We better believe we were in him as part of God, a part of eternal life. Living in God, an attribute, a thought. And he said, let there be, and we come into existence. He had no one to create him. He was the creator. He had nobody to turn a light switch and make it light to where you could see. He was the light. He doesn't need that. There'll be no need of none of that in the city. Because in the city will be total light, no matter what it is outside, day or night or any time. Come on, kids. Jonah, Thomas back there, he He likes a nightlight in his bedroom. Right? What about it, kids? You want a nightlight? How many grown-ups got nightlights? And go, oh, I see some hands right now. I better hold that. Some of you grown-ups need a nightlight. But what about a time when you don't need no light at all? But just remember, as I said a while ago, when he walks out of that city, he don't turn the light switch. Everywhere he's at, it always will be light. But just remember, if you're a born-again believer, then there's no darkness in you. And everywhere you go is a light. We used to sing it, this little light of mine, I'll let it shine. What are we talking about doing? Let it shine to others that they may see. Put it under a bushel. No. We don't want to cover it up. We want to let it be seen. Because we're the light. You see why he's not complete without you? Could you visualize for a second 10 billion little light bulbs? And all of that would be representing God. And all at once, one of them goes out. It'd show up as pretty as could be, wouldn't it? But that ain't the way God is. Right? They said I had plenty of time this morning because Lisa and them's gone after the food. So, what about it? What do you think about light? Anybody got a question? What do you think about light? Light had no beginning. The moon and the stars did. So that's not the light you're talking about. If God lives in you, that light is in you. There's no need of the light. You don't have to have a light in that city. But you didn't listen to what I was saying on the other. Just to show you how carnal you can get. You say, well, the clouds come over and we're darkening. Just remember, in the future home, there'll be no clouds. There'll be no mushrooms going up. There'll be no fog. There'll be no this, that, or the other. It'll all be new. Won't be no volcanoes erupting and covering the earth with ash. It'll all be made new. So there ain't gonna be no darkness in the world. No matter what night becomes if we is there when the prophet is describing the future home. And he said now outside of the city, that inside the city, you don't have no need of the light. He said now outside the city, you'll have your stars, your moon and the light. But just remember, the day he created that natural sun, from that day till now, it ain't stopped glowing. It ain't gonna stop glowing when we get there. It'll keep glowing. Cause there'll never be a darkness. As one match in a 10,000 foot building, totally dark, and one match lit, it puts out all that darkness. Same thing would be of a born-again believer. Everywhere you walk, there's light. You're the light. You realize what that makes us? A part of God. Right? If he's light, then we're part of God. See what the world's looking at you for? They're wanting to see Jesus. Right? What if we're not letting our light shine? Then we're creating darkness. But don't forget this. Light is not a creation. Light is God. God never had a beginning. To condescend towards earth that we could see him a human flesh, yes. the manifestations of different ways of seeing through Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David, all of that. But just remember, each one of those, Son of God, if you're listening, we're still on it. Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David, each one of them is related to your redemption. Isn't that something? That he's to be sitting on the throne in the millennium. That's the throne of David. It won't be David sitting there. It'll be the Lord Jesus sitting there. Why don't you put David up there? Wrong man. David ain't got enough light. He sits on that throne. You realize we'll be right there with him. Take out one of those lights. That aggravates me to look at a thing like these lights here. Got four in there and I look and there's one of them out. I want to go change that light bulb. Why? Because I want to see the light. You see, he's the light. But he gave his own life to live in you and I. Now we're the light. The world is looking for a light. You realize the life you live before the people around you is the only God they'll ever see. They ain't never been able to read his Bible and find him. It's in you. Why? Because you're the light. Right? You realize when we get out of here, watch the all in all, when we get out of here, there'll be a fifth sealed Jew that will be given white robes. When they leave, there'll be 144,000 given eternal life. When they leave, there'll be a white throne. Each one of them will become light. That the all in all may be here. All and in all. A light. It's not made to be covered over. Go let your light shine. I thought we believed in light being revelation of what we're doing. Come on, musicians. Come on, we're going to have a dinner today when they get here with it. Now, they may be, so we'll go ahead and tell you a little bit. In the evening, we may have to change just a little bit of the time-wise to starting in the evening to make sure we have enough time to eat because it's my birthday party. We have canceled them, but we won't do it today. We'll just go ahead and have services and things. It won't be it, right? Okay. Brother Louis said he'll be here, Lord willing, to preach for us Wednesday. I sent him a note to see. He says preaching in Ontario, Canada today and traveling back home tomorrow. So the Lord willing, Brother Louis will be, he said, just remember, Christian and Zoe in prayer as both of them are sick. So remember that. All right. So he'll be with us preaching, Lord willing, Wednesday. Let's stand together. Light. Well, I said this morning coming up the road, said, we got new company. You need to make it a little more simple. How much more simple can I make it than a Baptist doctrine that was preached to me 50 years, 60 years ago, or 70 years ago? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. We understood them scriptures back there. The world to know by a new creature. A new creation. God didn't have no beginning. He never had a beginning. But he did dwell alone with his attributes. But one day they were made manifest in doing it. All right. Okay, we'll sing a little bit. Then if anybody has a need, till we get there.
I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away.
You have a need? Come and let's see. Ye are the light of the world. Let your light shine.
That's what I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man.
Just you're here praying about her.
Other things are
you just let everything be okay. Let this prayer call be there for a contact between us. We love you and we thank you. And we commit it to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
I'm a new creation.
Come and let's see.
I'm a brand new.
You are the light of the world. Let your light shine. Go live a Christian life and happiness and joy to the world that they may see Christ living in you.
Things are passing.
For that's the goal of all Christianity.
I've been born again, more than a conqueror. That's what I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man.
Sister Anna, she's having trouble with her nerves and things. Just let that all pass away. Let it all be done and finished. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. Anybody else?
I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Though things are passed away, I've been born again.
Father, just be with our brother, Lord. It's about his work and the things. You just let everything work out for your honor and glory. And let your love and manifestation be with each one. May our brother have the right attitude about all things. So no matter what the world says or does, he trusts you. We believe you. Just let him let his light shine, Lord, that they may see Christ in Jesus' name. Anybody else?
I've been born again. We're born of conquerors. That's what I am.
Do you realize what I'm trying to say? That eternal life that's in you never had no beginning.
I'm a brand new.
That eternal life that you have, the new birth, never had no beginning. But it had to be transmitted down to us, and it took God to do that, to bring it all the way through his word and bringing it down to show the light and let him stand there. Well, yet what did they do? Beat him, killed him. But he was still the light. He was still the light. He is still that light. And in him there's no darkness whatsoever. Take that new birth and go forth with a better thought or idea about what you're doing. Let your light shine. That others may see Jesus Christ. Yeah. Just be with our little sister, Lord. We ask you to just reach down and touch her. Give her the desire of her heart. Let your love be there in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else? You see, he never had a beginning, so he can't have an ending. But see, it's hard to comprehend a human mind, with a human mind, how that one time he was bottled up in human flesh. He had to obey the flesh and live by the flesh. But inside of him was Almighty God, the very light of the world. They tried their best to put him out, but they couldn't do it. Satan had been better off if he'd went on vacation, as the old saying goes, and left them disciples alone. because there was just one light. But the first thing you know, there's 120. Next thing you know, there's 3,000. And look how he's multiplying. That light is getting greater. It's not going dim. Dull down. It's not. It's more light. The more of God is shown forth, the more light there is. And ye are the light. To walk in the light. As you see the light, walk in it. And you'll see that he is the light to come to live in each one of us. Make us manifest. Father, we're going now to get in a natural meal and just have your way with each one of us as we, Lord, love you and are guided in your understanding, and let it be you, Lord, that would be there and just help us. We love you. We thank you. Let that light shine, Lord. We don't need then the moon and the stars. They're there. And they'll always be there because you promised them. But what we need is your light and your love of the word, of understanding of thy word, because there's the real light. That puts out all darkness. Let your love be with us in Jesus' name. Go ahead and let's sing. Have we got? Are they down there?
The only thing is the hot dogs are for the youth.
Right. Okay. All right, now.
You just hate barbecue in your crowd. There's something wrong with you and you don't want barbecue.
Right. Right. Did you hear that? See, we have.
Right.
All right. Now, we've got some hot dogs for the children. So don't go down there now as an adult and plop you up a hot dog and a barbecue sandwich together. No. Let it make sure the kids get theirs. Let the kids get their hot dogs and things. And then if the kids want, as Terrence said, if they want a roast beef sandwich, they want that, then let them get that to do it. And all, but just remember, let the kids get the hot dogs. Because we know and realize that a lot of kids don't like, any kind of barbecues and stuff like that. So let the kids get their hot dogs. And if there's any left, you can have them. But just make sure you let them do that, And you eat yours, and then we'll all try to be together as one in him, right? So let's just pray and ask the Lord to sanctify the food and go right in. Father, we thank you. We ask you now that you'd go with us as we eat this natural meal, and let your loving grace be with us. Sanctify the food, and Lord, let your grace and love be in each one of our hearts. We love you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
This little light of mine.